I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. Is it anybody who's here this morning who loves the Lord? I love him. Excuse me this morning, because I love the Lord. Do I have any company in the place? And I love him because he heard my cry. You can call me a crybaby if you want to, but I'm a crybaby. Because the Lord heard my cry and he saved me. And that's why this morning, when I think about his goodness and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. And I praise him. Because Sister Pam, I don't deserve it, but he keeps on hearing my cry. And he keeps on blessing me. Thank you, choir, for allowing God to use you this morning, because I feel better. That's what church is all about. You come in one way and you leave out another way. It's like a filling station. You come in and you get gassed up for the next week. So I feel like going on. Thank you. Thank you. Truly, it's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time and honor your pastor, Dr. King, who's a very, very good friend of mine. Been knowing Pastor King for years, and in his absence, I do honor him. To our worship leader this morning, to Sister Pam, to all of the officers, members, and friends who are here this morning, I greet you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And I won't be long before you this morning. There is a word from the Lord. And I'm going to ask, if you have your Bibles, whether you have it on an iPad or your iPhone or paperback or hardback, when you've located it, can you please stand all over the building? And it's a familiar text, because we've heard it read this morning. The text this morning is coming from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. And while you're locating that and finding that scripture, again, that's Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. I just want to thank God this morning for the presence of my husband, Deacon Allen Winkler. I'm going to ask that he would just raise his hand. God bless him. Thank him for his presence, for being with us this morning. Again, the gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 22. And when you found it, can you respond by saying amen?
Amen.
Sound like we're there. And it reads as follows. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. I want to preach, my brothers and my sisters, from the theme, I can see clearly now. can see clearly now. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, come right now, Lord. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray right now that you would hide Priscilla under the cross. Let nothing I say or do bring glory or honor to self. But Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning in such a mighty way that if it's anyone here this morning who do not know you in the pardon of their sin, they will walk down this aisle and give their life to you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would use me in such a mighty way that when we leave this place, God, we will have a better determination to serve and worship you. Thank you, God, for everything that you're doing here in the life of this church. Bless the pastor while he's away, God. Give him traveling mercy. Thank you for everything, God, that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, out of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Mark is the only gospel writer who records this miracle. It is the healing of the blind man. It is very unusual. It's an unusual miracle. It is unusual because it is the only miracle in the New Testament where Jesus had to touch the person a second time before they were completely healed. Does that mean that Jesus failed to heal the blind man the first time? Danielle, did Jesus miscalculate how much healing power he would need to perform the miracle in order to heal the blind man? Absolutely not. Jesus is the Son of God. He knows exactly what it takes to pull off a miracle. In fact, you're looking at one. There's no question about him being a healer. Nor is there any question about him healing the blind man. In fact, Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 42:7, states that when Jesus comes, he would open blind eyes. In the beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened up the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. And watch this. And recover sight to the blind. Prophecy. It was John the Baptist who sent two of his disciples to Jesus and asked Jesus the question, are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for someone else? In other words, John said, go to Jesus and ask him the question, are you the one or somebody else? Jesus said to John's disciples, go back to John and report to John what you see, that the blind receives their sight. Jesus is the Son of God. There is no miscalculation of power when it comes down to him healing the blind man. But when we examine the steps of this man's healing, we can see that Jesus did not lack power at all. What we see is a time when healing is done in stages. Also from the text, we can see three important keys that we should keep in mind if we really, 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 really want to see clearly. And if you would allow me just a few minutes, I would like to share them with you and then I'll take my seat. The first thing that the text teaches us is found in verse 22. The blind man had friends who cared enough about him that they brought him to Jesus. See, that's what friends are for. And let me just holler at some of my young people this morning. He had friends who cared enough about him to bring him to Jesus. Why? Because they were not satisfied seeing their friend blind. You see, blindness meant that you were unable to see where you were going. Blindness meant that you had to rely on somebody else or walking stick to get around. Blindness was considered a curse. They cared enough about their friend that they didn't want to see him in this condition. They wanted him healed. And can I help somebody this morning? I know we use that word friend so loosely. That's my friend. She's my friend. He's my friend. They're my friend. But the truth of the matter is, a true friend cannot see you down and out, and they're not bothered by that. A true friend is concerned about you. They want the best for you. A true friend wants to see you make it. They want to see you on top. A true friend is not jealous of your success. A true friend celebrates when things are going well in your life. A true friend rejoices when you rejoice and weeps when you weep. Listen, a true friend knows that if the Lord is blessing you, that means he's in the neighborhood and he's not far. I'm not far from my blessing. And watch this, Danielle. And even if God does not bless me, even if it's not my season, even if it's not my time yet, I don't hate on you, but I celebrate you for what the Lord is doing in your life, what the Lord is doing for your children. I celebrate you because you're going to settlement, you're going to settlement and signing the papers on your new house. You're going to the dealership getting your new car. That's what a true friend does. Too many times we have the word friend all mixed up and messed up. And therefore we don't know the real truth, what a real true friend is. I thank God for friends like that. Friends who are there when things are going well, and friends who are there when things are not going so well. Friends who know how to encourage me when I feel like throwing in a towel. Anybody ever felt like that? When you feel like giving up, but your friend encouraged you to hang in there, things are going to get better. Every now and then you have some good days and some bad days, and that friend knows how to pat you on your back and say, get back in the race. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in a towel. I call that friend a cheerleader. We have some cheerleaders who encourage us and cheer us on. That's what friends are for. And that's the case of the blind man in the text. He had some friends who cared enough about him that when they saw his situation, when they saw his blindness, that they were determined to get him to Jesus because they loved him and they wanted to see him better. In this text this morning, it doesn't sit well with the blind man's friends that he's blind. So they decide to take him to Jesus. Not only did they bring him to Jesus, but the text says they begged Jesus to touch him. That's the type of friends we need in our lives. They knew that Jesus was the answer. People think their jobs are the answer. Some people think their car is the answer. People think their homes are the answer. And of course, many of us believe our money is the answer. Not so. While these things are nice to have, make sure that you know that Jesus is the answer. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here this morning who knows that Jesus is the answer? The text says that they bring this blind man to Jesus and they beg Jesus to touch him. First of all, the first thing is the blind man had friends who cared enough about him to get him to Jesus. The second thing we see in the text is tailored to teach us that Jesus takes the blind man by the hand, and then Jesus leads him out of the town of Bethesda. I had to pause there for a moment, my brothers and my sisters, because Jesus takes the blind man by the hand and leads him out of the town of Bethesda. Before he heals him, Jesus is building the blind man's faith. The blind man has to trust the Lord, even though he's not sure where the Lord is leading him. Jesus is building this man's faith. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but the Lord is trying to build your faith. You have to learn how to trust God. You might not see where he's trying to lead you, but you've got to learn to trust him. You might not know where he's trying to take you, but you've got to learn how to trust God. You may not see the blueprint, but you've got to trust him. Too often we trust everybody else, but when it comes down to God, we got to hold a meeting. When it comes down to God, we hesitate. When it comes down to God, we're not sure. You've got to learn how to trust God. How many of you know that you can trust the Lord? He won't let you down. I have discovered that even when you can't track God, when you can't trace God, you can trust him. And that's what the blind man had to do. He had to trust the Lord. Remember, the blind man did not come to Jesus. He was brought to Jesus by his friends. So Jesus is building his faith. Jesus takes the blind man by the hand and leads him out of the town of Bethesda. Now, I wanted to know, why didn't Jesus heal the blind man in the town? Brother Holt, why didn't Jesus heal him in Bethesda? Why did he hold his hand and lead him out of the town? He could have healed him. He could have healed the man right away, right there where they were. I wanted to know, why did he have to leave town? To me, it's easier to do it right there. Jesus had the power. He was able. All Jesus had to do was speak the word. For there's power in his word. But Jesus leads him out of the town. Why? Why does Jesus move him away from the place as well as away from the people? I'm glad you asked. Bethesda means curse city. It was a place of unbelief, doubt, and negativity. In order to get him healed, Jesus had to get him away from the place called Bethesda and away from the people who live there. Too many times, God wants to take you to another level. The Lord wants to bless you, but he can't because you are hanging in the wrong place around the wrong people. We're hanging around Bethesda and listening to its people who are doubters. Get away from the doubters. They will talk you right out of your blessing. It's time this morning to pack your bags and leave Bethesda, the place of doubt, and the negativity people. You will never get your blessing. You will never receive your miracle. You will never get your breakthrough until the Lord gets you away from some people. You got to get away from the Bethesdians, those who are doubters. Sometimes when certain people are around you, things never happen. There are people that as long as they are with you and in your life, you will never experience the miracle God has your name on. Why? Because they will talk you right out of your blessing. They will tell you, girl, that thing is so impossible, I wouldn't even mess with that. But how many of us know that it does not matter how impossible it looks? I serve a God who specializes in impossibility. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how hard it looks. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. We're listening to the wrong people. You have to get out of Bethsaida, because faith and unbelief can't operate in the same place. You cannot have unbelief and resistance operating in the atmosphere of faith. You will have to disconnect with some people. So Jesus takes the blind man by the hand. He leads him. Can you see Jesus taking the blind man by the hand and walking through the town? He does not perform the miracle yet. He doesn't get to the miracle until they get outside of Bethsaida. Once the man is outside of the town, Jesus spits on his eyes. Jesus then puts his hands on him. Now, Jesus used a variety of ways to heal people. Jesus healed some people with a touch, some with a word. Some people were healed in his presence, while others was healed at a distance. Some was sent away. Others said, Lord, don't come to my house, just speak the word. So Jesus used a variety of ways to heal people. And here, Jesus uses on one or two occasions, Jesus used spittle and saliva. People of that day believed that spittle or saliva, or spit, what the text says, had a healing power. One of the first things usually done when a man or a little kid cuts their finger, it is put in his mouth. The saliva seems to ease the pain. Jesus placed saliva on the man's eyes and touched him. Jesus then asked the man, do you see anything? Jesus asked, what do you see? Anytime Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. God knows everything. He knows the answer. In fact, he knows the amount of hair that is on my head. He knows. But the man said, I see men like trees walking. We learned from the man's response, my brothers and sisters, that the man was not born blind. He wasn't born blind because he was able to tell the difference between a tree, a man, and walking. Watch this. We learned from his response that the man was not born blind. If he was born blind, he would not be able to recognize a man, a tree, or walking. But he could identify what they assumed or what they should have looked like. I'm not sure, my brothers and my sisters, if this man had lost his sight from injury or illness. What I do know is Jesus spat on his eyes and touched him. And he goes from blind to, watch this, blurred. He goes from seeing to not seeing. But his vision was blurred. He was experiencing what I call blurred vision. He can see, but he could not see clearly. What he sees is not natural. It is not normal. And can I help somebody this morning? You might not tell Pastor King to bring me back, but I pray that he will. Too many times, we don't see everything, we don't see anything wrong with men looking like trees and walking. In fact, we have embraced and settled for blurred vision. We are similar to the man in the text. Help me, preacher. It's better to have something than nothing. Something is better than nothing. For my older seasoned Christians, you've heard a half a loaf is better than no loaf. We settle for what I call partial healing. We can see, but we see men looking like trees walking. I stopped by this morning, my brothers and my sisters, to let you know that that's not natural. That's not normal. To see, but you see men looking like a tree and walking. Our marriages are falling apart because we say, long as I'm married, I don't want to be alone. We settle for partial healing. Lord, send me a husband. I don't care if he don't have a job. Just give me a husband. Husband laying around all day long, around the house, watching TV and dirtying up the dishes. The Bible says, a man who don't work, a man don't eat. Men looking like trees walking. Half of the vision, half partial able to see. Husbands, men, saying, just give me a wife. I don't care if she stay in the shopping mall all day long, spend up all the money, don't clean the house, and don't care for the children. We see men looking like trees walking. Half of the vision. And the truth of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, we settle. We settle for blurred vision. We think it's okay. We think it's okay. I love children to death. I have three of my own. One girl and two boys and three grandchildren. But it bothers me when I see little children or kids putting their hands on their hips, telling their parents what they are and what they're not going to do. That bothers me. I love my children, my grandchildren, and our children to death, but I will not be disrespected. I will not see half of the vision. I will not be partially blind. I will not see men walking, looking like trees. We settle for half. Not me. I'm settling for all of it. And if you're going to be disrespectful in my house, then you won't be visiting my home. We settle. Our finances are out of control. Because we gotta have everything we see. And none of the bills get paid. Every time we turn around, we gotta cut off notice. You need to get a handle on your control. Because I'm not gonna be walking around broke. Day in and day out. The Bible says, oh, no man but love. I am the head and not the tail. We settle for less than. Teenagers being disrespectful to their parents. And we say it's okay, long as they come to dinner. I don't need company that much. I'd rather be by myself before I'm disrespected. We see half of the picture. And it's okay. We settle for seeing half of the picture. It's not normal. Jesus asked the man, what do you see? And the man looks up and says, I see men like trees walking. Some of us think that it's okay to make it without Jesus. We're falling apart and having anxiety attacks because we're looking through the lenses of men looking like trees and walking. I don't know about you, but I can't make it without the Lord. I need God on my side. So my brothers and my sisters, lest I keep you too long, Jesus takes, first of all, the first thing that the text is telling to teach us is the blind man has friends who care enough about him to not leave him in the state of blindness, but to get him to Jesus. The man, the friends bring the man to Jesus. They're in the town of Bethsaida. Before Jesus begins to perform the healing, he takes the man out of the town. Takes him out of the town because he cannot do the miracle in that place. Once they get out of the town, Jesus spits on the man's eyes, touches them, and the man begins to see. The only thing is he's able to see, but he sees from a distorted focus. He only sees half of the picture. So what Jesus does is, and I'm so glad that the story did not stop at verse 24. I'm so glad that the man did not walk away. I'm so glad that the man told Jesus the truth. When Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" He could have said, "Lord, I'm fine." He could have said, "Lord, I'm good." Because that's what some of us do. I don't need all of it, just a little bit. All I need is a little bit. I'm doing better than I was. Anything is better than it was. But the truth of the matter is, too many times we stop and settle for a partial healing instead of getting the whole blown, full, complete healing. So Jesus asked the man, "What do you see?" The man says, "I see men looking like trees walking." And verse 25 says that Jesus touched the man's eyes again. I don't know about you. And let me just make sure that we're crystal clear. That does not mean that you're not saved. That does not mean that God has not blessed you. That does not mean that God has not delivered you. What it means is every now and then, and I will be the first to admit that every now and then my vision get blurred. Every now and then I don't see things as clear as I ought to see them. So every now and then I gotta go back, and I thank God that when you know that your vision is not as clear as it should be, too many times we want to sit in church, cross our hands and fold our legs, thinking that we got it all together. I didn't come this morning to talk to those people. I came this morning to talk to those people who every now and then it looks like our vision get blurred and we need a second touch. We got to call Jesus up again and say, "Lord, touch me. I'm not seeing this thing as clear as I should." It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I'm not saved. But every now and then, my vision get a little cloudy. Every now and then, I'm trying to read the newspaper without my glasses. So I gotta say, "Lord, I need you to put some spiritual glasses on my eyes. I need you to touch me again." It's nothing wrong with being touched again. Is there anybody who's gonna be honest this morning who knows that every now and then you need a second touch from the Master? And I'm so glad he touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and I now know he has touched me and made me whole. Is there anybody in the building this morning? Won't he do it? Can he do it? No matter what you need, if you need a second touch, he's able. All you got to do is call him up and tell him what you want. I'm so glad that he has the power. He'll touch you. Anybody ever been touched? Won't he do it? Come on, I need a witness this morning. If he's touched you and now you can see clearly, you ought to stand on your feet and say, thank you, Lord, for clear vision. Thank you, Lord, for clear vision. He touched me. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. I believe that's the song that the blind man sung. And Jesus told him, go back to your house. Don't go back to Bethsaida. Those folk who don't believe and don't doubt. Go home. Go home. And share it with your family. Come on, we're standing all over the church this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You're here this morning. The Lord is good. He's good. I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. God help us. If you're here this morning, first of all, if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, you're like the blind man. You can't see your way. But I want to introduce you to my friend. And his name is Jesus. And he will take the blinders off your eyes that you may be able to see. If you're here this morning, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The first appeal this morning is for those who do not know the Lord. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. I know people tell you, you don't need the Lord. You can make it. I've come to let you know that you can't make it without God. He loves you so much that he has made all the provisions for you. This is a rough life to live. But when you got Jesus, even when adverse conditions come your way, he'll carry you through. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, why don't you come? Man, woman, boy, or girl. If you're here this morning and you don't have a home church, every soldier needs a battlefield. What a wonderful place to be right here.